Hello, let's do it again. It's time to improve your American English skills and learn about important events at the same time. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today, we will talk about Africa. Experts think the population on the continent will grow by a huge amount within the next 30 years. We will give you complete details. Then, a good news, bad news story from the United Nations regarding climate change. Let's get started with part one. Officials with the United Nations Children's Fund, or UNICEF, are predicting a large increase in the number of births in Africa. The officials say that by the year 2050, 4 out of 10 people on Earth will be African. They add that between now and then, about 1.8 billion African babies will be born. Jonathan Evans reports.
Africa is already home to one of the world's youngest populations. The African Union says about two-thirds of the continent's 1.1 billion people are less than 35 years old. Many of these young people will reach reproductive age in the next 30 years. A baby boom could change the continent greatly, stretching resources and changing family life. Princewell Elimiaga owns a children's school in Johannesburg, the largest city in South Africa. He says he doesn't need to read the reports to know that the population is growing. His classrooms are filled to capacity with children. One 23-year-old teacher at the school says watching the population explode has changed her own reproductive plans. She says she plans to have no more than 2 babies. One researcher at a university in South Africa says that population growth is a serious public policy issue. He adds that every African leader needs to be thinking about the future now. In 2010, the International Labor Organization found that 41 of 50 African nations studied provide at least 12 weeks of work leave for new mothers. Those figures have been increasing. The organization also found that most African nations give new fathers less than 10 days of leave. Many give none at all. Some countries are having a hard time enforcing the laws they already have. Esther Njau is a mother living in Ngong. She says employers refuse to give new mothers the 3 months of leave required by Kenyan law. Ms. Njau says she got just 2 months of leave at her private company. Many of her friends who had babies were dismissed from their jobs. She says that the possibility of losing one's job can stop a person from having more babies. Many women in South Africa say government-subsidized motherhood is their only means of survival. 25-year-old Simpiwe Gwebu is one of those women. She had her first baby 2 years ago. The government gave her about $30 a month in assistance. She says that amount was not enough, so she decided to have another child. She says the government gives more money with each baby. Critics of the government program say it sends the wrong message. They say the government should instead work to improve economic possibilities for the workforce. West Africa has among the highest birth rates on the continent. The average woman in Niger has about 7 children. Birth control methods are seen as a threat to culture, religion, and tradition. Senegal is a predominantly Muslim country. The Ministry of Health teamed with religious leaders to help spread information about the importance of family planning. One Senegalese expert says the use of pregnancy prevention in the country increased to 16% among married women in 2013. That was an increase of 4% in the 2 years since the family planning effort began. In addition, infant deaths in Senegal dropped to about 2%. Dr. Ashley Mtunzi is an expert in maternal health at Wits University in Johannesburg. He says South Africa loses 41 babies for every 1,000 live births. He notes that the lack of prenatal care feeds into the nation's AIDS problem. He says untreated HIV-positive mothers can pass the virus on to their babies. Experts say there is reason to feel hopeful about Africa's future. An expert with UNICEF in Senegal says that Africa's booming population could be a great hope for the continent. I'm Jonathan Evans.
You are listening to the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. In 2014, the year just passed, the United Nations released a series of climate reports that showed temperatures on Earth are rising. That is the bad news. The good news is that countries are working together to fight climate change. Christopher Cruz looks back over the past 12 months.
Experts say a 2-degree rise in temperature above pre-industrial times will cause serious damage that cannot be reversed. The pre-industrial period ended in the middle of the 18th century. That was followed by the Industrial Revolution, when machines and new manufacturing processes were created. Michael Oppenheimer is a professor of geosciences and international affairs at Princeton University in New Jersey. He says air pollution emissions must be reduced before temperatures rise.
That makes it incumbent upon governments to get moving quickly, which is why there's so much focus on the meeting in Lima and the meeting a year from now that's planned for Paris.
The recent United Nations talks in Peru were designed to prepare officials for a meeting in Paris, France, later this year. Many nations will sign a global climate agreement at that meeting. The agreement reached in Peru is different from earlier agreements. Developing countries like China and India are promising to join richer countries in reducing emissions. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said developing nations are having a large effect on the environment.
More than half of global emissions, more than half, are coming from developing nations. So it is imperative that they act too.
China and the United States acted. They signed an agreement. American officials said the U.S. would reduce emissions between 26 and 28% by 2025. China said it would begin reducing emissions in 2030. Michael Oppenheimer says other countries will release their environmental plans early this year. He says negotiators continue to discuss details of the agreement before the conference